from San Diego, California. This is the Frug Life Podcast, the show that teaches you how to save, invest, and earn money. Here's the host, Mr. Frugal himself, Ricky Hirsch.
Welcome to the Frug Life. So as you may or may not know, the company FTX is in bankruptcy or is going to go through bankruptcy right now. And this is eventful in some ways because a lot of personal finance YouTubers and whatnot promoted FTX. So I wanted to take a second and just talk a little bit, very high level, about what's going on, some high level principles, what is a bank run, and also one other principle, which is not your keys, not your crypto. So I've said that saying before. I'm not sure if I've said it on the podcast. I know it's definitely on my Bitcoin blog that I used to run. If you've never seen it, it was called BTC Plus. It still exists. I just don't post to it very frequently. But the principle is quite simple. Not your keys, not your crypto. I don't want to go into a whole long-winded discussion about cryptography, but the essence of it is you have a public address and you have a private key. And your public address you can share with other people, and that's how you receive Bitcoin to your wallet. You can send Bitcoin from your wallet and it will use your public address to identify the source of that Bitcoin. Your private keys, on the other hand, is something that you shouldn't share with anyone ever. It is how you identify you own your crypto. So basically, your private keys allow you to spend your money. Your private keys are what is necessary to use your wallet. And via the magic of cryptography, you are able to share with others that you have your private keys without revealing your private keys. That's kind of what the magic of cryptography does. I don't want to try to explain any further detail than that. I'm not a cryptography expert by any means. Anyways, when you have your Bitcoin or cryptocurrency, I'm just saying Bitcoin as an example, in an offline wallet, you will have your private keys and you should back them up and keep them in a secure place. Because if you lose them, you lose access to your crypto. So you don't want to do that. But if someone else gets access to them, they can spend your crypto. So you don't want that either. When you use a website like an exchange, you put money on the exchange and you no longer have the keys to your crypto. The exchange has the keys. And so when people say not your keys, not your crypto, what they're saying is the exchange has control of the crypto. And if the exchange falls, they will take your crypto with it. Now, am I saying to never use an exchange? Well, no, it's a little difficult to get around without using an exchange. But don't keep money on there long term. When you're done transacting on the exchange, you can pull that money off and put it back into cold storage. And that way, if the exchange falls, you've minimized your exposure to it. Likewise, if you put your money into Celsius or Voyager, which are now in bankruptcy, they lend out your money. Or did they or did they not? I don't know. They may have lent out your money to other people and gave you interest. And likewise, though, they control the keys, and therefore your crypto has some risk associated with it. And now in retrospect, we can see that risk was quite high, or at least so it seems now. All right, let's take a quick break and we will be right back. Let's take a few minutes now to talk about bank runs. Now, at a super high level, how does a bank work? A bank works by taking in deposits and then in turn giving out loans. Now, when the bank takes in deposits, right, they don't just keep that money sitting in cash in a vault. Instead, the majority of that money is going to leave the bank's doors in the form of loans. And so only a reserve will be kept. The loans the bank gives out are assets to the bank, but they're not particularly liquid assets. So there's a little bit of an imbalance there, right? The deposits are short-term in nature. People can take them out at will. But the bank's loans, it's not able to call them as quickly as depositors can come and request their cash. And in olden times, this was a big problem for banks, and it caused bank runs. Nowadays, there is FDIC insurance for banks and NCUA insurance for credit unions, and these protect the depositors up until their limits. So for the FDIC, it's $250,000 per individual per bank. is protected by the FDIC. So if you have deposits less than $250,000 in a bank that is FDIC insured and the bank fails, the FDIC will guarantee your money, basically. You will get your money back. And that solves the problem of bank runs. Because if there's a guarantor, you know your money is going to be safe. So what is a bank run? So a bank run is when more depositors want their money than the bank has in its liquid reserves. And so some depositors aren't able to get their money back when they want it. This creates a liquidity crisis for the bank. Now, what can the bank do to alleviate this crisis? Well, in theory, they could borrow from another financial institution, right? But in a situation like this, other financial institutions may not be in a position to help. They may be facing their own liquidity crises. Also, you may not want to lend to a bank in distress because you don't know if it's just a liquidity crisis or if they may have a solvency crisis. To briefly summarize those two, liquidity basically is talking about, do you have enough liquid assets, meaning cash or other assets that are readily convertible into cash? Do you have more of those liquid assets than you have people demanding money back from you, or short-term liabilities is another way of phrasing that. Versus solvency means, does the bank have more liabilities than it has assets? In which case the bank is insolvent, and even if they were able to liquidate all of their assets, they still would not be able to cover their debts. Anyways, this is all a long way of saying that when a bank run occurs, it can be tricky to solve. And so that's where the FDIC steps in, like I mentioned before. Or possibly an institution like the Federal Reserve that acts as a lender of last resort to banks. The details of how the traditional financial system work, though, isn't really the point of this conversation, except to show that there are protections for consumers in the traditional financial system. And now with these new crypto exchanges, crypto platforms, these safeguards don't exist. And so if there is a fear of a bank run, whether it is real or imagined, since there are no safeguards, whatever this theoretical bank run started as, if people start to believe it is true, it will become true. Just to reiterate that point, just the fear of a liquidity crisis is enough to create a liquidity crisis. And for many reasons, I think that is why this FDIC insurance and these traditional safeguards are so important. Not because they're used frequently, because in reality, you know, the FDIC seizing a bank and taking control is a fairly uncommon occurrence. But it is so uncommon, bank runs are so uncommon, because that insurance exists. Because customers don't need to fear about them occurring. And because they don't need to fear of them occurring, they don't occur. And likewise, why a platform without any such safeguards is so risky? Because any fear, whether real or imaginary, I think I've said that a few times now, can become a real problem. Individual depositors acting in their own self-interest, when they hear about a concern, will rightfully pull their money out of the institution. And as more and more people do that, the institution runs out of liquidity, and eventually they cannot process any more withdrawals, and then they fail. All right, we may have one more quick break, and then I do want to talk a little bit about creators. Welcome back. Now, why am I even talking about all of this? Well, the first reason is I want to give everyone a little bit of a warning. I think everybody should be fully aware of what you're doing, what you're getting into. When you go and conduct a transaction, you should understand the risks associated with that transaction. And when you lend out your crypto, or when you just entrust another organization with your crypto, you should know what you are doing. And it's not to say you shouldn't do it, you should just know what you're doing. For instance, I buy crypto on SoFi, right? And I don't necessarily have the keys to that crypto. SoFi holds it on my behalf. But the amount of money I have in that account is a small enough portion of my assets that I don't worry about it very much. I don't think about it too much. And I largely trust the institution. Now, you should be careful doing that because lots of people trusted the institutions that failed. And as I mentioned just a little bit ago, there were personal finance creators, personal finance YouTubers that promoted these institutions. Now, I think it's very easy for me as a creator who generally doesn't receive much compensation from financial institutions to sit back and say, shame on them for promoting something that was a failure and that their listeners and customers and whatnot lost money on because of their recommendation. As someone who doesn't make much money via sponsorships, I think it's easy for me to do that. And I think there is some legitimacy in that, right? Whatever you promote, whatever I bring to you, my audience, I do feel accountable for somewhat. I just hope I explain the risks associated with all of the items that I bring up. And perhaps in some cases, these creators did not adequately disclose the risks. But at the same time, if I was in their shoes, if FTX approached me and wanted to give me lots of money to promote their product, I probably would have, yeah, to be honest. Although I do hope that I would have disclaimed it appropriately and explained why that was risky. Because I think possibly the biggest disservice would be to just promote these institutions as if they were traditional institutions, as if they were institutions that have these safeguards in place that protect ordinary people, ordinary consumers, ordinary depositors. Because to not explicitly call out the dangers associated with these institutions, in some way you are hiding almost the fact that there are risks associated with them. Particularly in the case with, I think, Celsius and Voyager, consumers were unaware of what the company was doing with their money, right? They thought it was being kept in a vault somewhere, and odds are that's not what was being done. It was being lent out. Probably. I probably should disclaim all of this and say this isn't financial advice, as always. And I have no inside information as to what any of these companies did. I am just talking about bank runs, which is one of the oldest stories. The holiday season is coming up. If you want to see a great movie with a bank run in it, you should watch It's a Wonderful Life. There's a great example in there. There's also an example in Mary Poppins. I'd recommend both of those to you. Anyways, I hope you've enjoyed this week's episode. I hope you personally have been safe through this situation, and I hope you take this opportunity, like I did, to reflect on the risk associated with the people I sponsor or don't sponsor, as well as just the risk of how my money is being used in general. Thanks for listening. Have a great week. And as always, stay frugal.